From iAfrican Media, this is iAfrican Bites, a podcast that features commentary on African news, insights, opinions, and analysis with tech industry leaders and professionals. The podcasts are from interviews conducted by the iAfrican team, whether at events or when needed for commentary. I'm Badawun Kosokwane, host and editor-in-chief for iAfrican.com, spelled www.iafrican.com.
Miska, thank you for joining us on iAfrican Bites. Or rather, thank you for hosting us as iAfrican at Deep Learning in Dublin. This is amazing. As an official media partner, rather, it's been amazing to cover this event. Now, Avishka, before we get into the event, tell me a bit about yourself. How did you start within your trajectory of AI and machine learning? Where did that love come from?
Well, firstly, thank you so much for being here. It's great. Mm-hmm. It's really great to have you at the Indaba this year. My journey started in computer science, actually, when I was very young. I got hooked by the programming bug, let's say, very early on. But AI was not really something that I thought much about. I thought it was, you know, something that you would see in science fiction movies. But it became real to me, I guess, when I was in my undergrad studies at UCT in Cape Town. And I saw a demo that one of our professors gave us of a six-legged robot that learned to walk all by itself through this machine learning technique called reinforcement learning, which is kind of similar, you can think about it, as how you might train a dog, for example. I found this fascinating. I thought, wow, we can actually make machines learn by themselves. I really want to do this. But at that time, there were not really opportunities to pursue a career in AI, you know, in South Africa, in the rest of Africa, really. So I had to sort of park that dream for a while. And I went to work in a career in finance. For 7 years.
7 years?
Before I got bored of that.
And then, what were you doing in finance? I mean, similar AI, machine learning related, data?
Unfortunately not. I was a software engineer in finance. It was interesting. I learned a lot of things, especially how to communicate with users and understanding a lot of the financial markets. But I eventually got bored of that, and this was around the time, sort of 2014, when there had been a revolution in AI, and this deep learning revolution was just starting to take off. And it started to become an opportunity that I could pursue. But again, not really in Africa. I unfortunately had to go overseas to study machine learning, which I did do.
Where did you study?
I studied at University College London in the UK. I did a master's there in machine learning, and that led me to change my career, to start working in research, AI research. And one of my dreams, I guess, was to make it such that if people wanted to, they didn't have to leave the continent to pursue a lucrative career in AI. And that's what led me to what I'm doing now, I suppose.
Avishka, you're general co-chair of Deep Learning in Indaba. I mean, that's the reason why we're here. I just want to understand, because I was at the airport. I mean, the buzz was amazing, right?
Yeah.
From OR Tambo, you know, everybody was there. I think there was maybe about 50 of us in the plane. And, you know, when we got to Accra at Kotoka Airport, there was, you know, other sort of, you know, participants and attendees from different parts of the continent. Just walk us through, when did deep learning start? How did it start? You and the board of trustees, how did you know each other? How did this came about?
Well, this all started actually with some of our founders who had noticed that in 2016, at the top AI conferences in the world, for pretty much the entire existence of these conferences, there was not a single paper that was written by an African author based in Africa.
This was around 2016.
Yeah, this was around 2016. And they said, you know, this is strange. There's an entire continent that's missing. And AI is growing so rapidly, and we're not being part of the conversation. So that sparked the idea of this first deep learning Indaba. And actually, I met the co-founders of the Indaba, Shakir and Ulrich. I met them at DeepMind, which is where I work in London. I had just joined DeepMind in 2017 when this idea was starting to take shape. And you know, I met them for lunch, and they told me about this idea. I thought it sounded crazy, but also
it was sort of cool as
but also sounded amazing. And I was like, you know, sign me up. I want to help with this thing. And I attended the first Indaba back in 2017, which was hosted in Johannesburg, and uh-huh. I fell in love. You know, the community is just so powerful that we have.
Now walk me through that. I mean, 2017 when you started in, you know, Vista University. Now we're in Accra, Ghana, you know, on its fifth installment. Walk me through some of the, you know, the memories. What has changed? How has it matured over time from 2017 up until now?
Well, you know, in 2017 we thought, hey, we would have a little summer school. Maybe 30 people might be interested in this thing. We'll just get a
was
small.
Was it just, you know, 30 people that you guys know within community
exactly.
you work with?
Maybe a few students might be interested in coming to this event. We'll have it in a small classroom somewhere. And so we opened up applications for this thing, opened up an application form, and 700 people responded to it, which showed, you know, there was this pent-up demand. Eventually, we realized, you know, we'd have to do something a bit different. Yeah. So we had our first event for 300 people.
Wow.
It was very much focused on foundational educational aspect of AI. But over the years, you know, every single year we grew. We added new elements to the program. We added more choices. And the thing that really, I think, you could see in the evolution of the Indaba and of the community is how it started transforming from foundational education to now being much more a showcase of the innovation that's happening on the continent. That we are doing things now that are cutting edge, and we're doing it with our own unique perspective, and that's started to being represented and showcased a lot more at the Indaba. So now you'll see we started a little experiment with poster presentations for people to present their work in 2017. And now that's grown into 2 days of our program now are dedicated to the Africa Research Day, which is really a showcase of all the innovation that's happening on the continent.
Now, Vishka, 800 attendees is a lot of people.
Yeah.
How do you, I mean, as co-chair, how do you organize such an event of this magnitude? I mean, I see volunteers everywhere. I know when we got to the airport, there was volunteers, there was an ushering in team to usher it through customs, and it helped a lot. How do you, what goes into putting an event like this?
Well, a lot of hard work, a lot of sleepless
nights. How long were the preparations before?
So it takes about 10 months to prepare for the Indaba, but really it's the spirit of the Indaba is embodied both in the community and the event, but also in the organization of it. Every single person involved in organizing is a volunteer.
Okay.
That most of them have full-time jobs or are students doing their PhDs, and they do this in their spare time, dedicating many, many hours. And it's all just done through passion for growing this community.
Okay. Just to find the structure for me, because I remember when we got here, I met one of the LOC, the local organizing committee, and your general chair. Just define that structure. How does the co-chairs liaise with the LOC?
So the Indaba moves every year to a different country.
Okay.
And so in order to do that, we need very strong partners who actually understand the local ecosystem
100%.
And can, you know, understand how to produce an event of this scale. So our local partners are an extremely important part of the program. Yeah. They're the ones who have that local context. They do the on-the-ground organization. The general chairs, on the other hand, are responsible for the overall vision, the overall delivery of the Indaba, which is more than the local organization. Mm-hmm. It's also about the program. Mm-hmm. It's about coordinating the 50 volunteers that we have this year, making sure communication between them is effective.
Uh-huh.
It's about, you know, setting the vision and direction, defining some of the new experiments that we conduct. Every year we do new experiments.
Okay.
That's our responsibility.
Let's play a little game. So I'm gonna name a year and all the years where you hosted Deep Learning Indaba, and highlight for me what was your biggest highlights, right? So VITS 2017.
VITS 2017 was really special because it was the first time this community had met.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the really special moment for me was that you would find people who Maybe they were at UCT and University of Western Cape, and they were both working on AI, but they never met each other before.
Okay.
And it was really about bringing people together and forming those connections. That was what was very special about 2017.
2018, Stellenbosch, right?
Yeah.
How was that?
Stellenbosch, the highlight, I'd say, was the growth. The number of applications doubled that year.
Wow.
The scale of the event almost doubled.
Wow.
I think one of the highlights was the introduction of parallel sessions.
Okay.
We gave people a lot more choice and started mm-hmm. making the topics more advanced.
Okay.
We also had some really amazing speakers from mm-hmm. all over the world at Stellenbosch.
Okay. Yeah. 2019 was in Tunisia, right?
19 was Kenya.
Kenya. Yes. How was Kenya?
Highlights. Kenya was amazing. So Kenya was a big step for the Indaba okay. because many of the original organizing team for the Indaba were South Africans.
South Africans, 100%.
And so we started in South Africa, okay. but we claimed to be a pan-African organization.
No, of course.
So this was, Kenya was the proof that we could okay. that we could do it.
You could export the product to, exactly. to other parts of the continent.
And I think we were able to prove that both mm-hmm. to ourselves and yes. to others.
Yes.
And that's where we picked up a lot more representation in our organization okay. from across the continent.
Across the continent.
Yeah.
2019, I believe 2020 was COVID, of course.
Yes.
Well, when was Tunisia?
Tunisia was 2022.
2022.
That was the reunion.
Yes, and what were the highlights?
So there was a lot of uncertainty for okay. 2022 because
I'm guessing in the context of COVID,
exactly.
there's a lot of funding,
yeah.
you know, job cuts in tech and yeah.
Exactly. It was a very uncertain year. You know, we had to start planning 10 months early, so okay. there were still COVID restrictions happening. And I suppose I had a little bit of a worry that people okay. might have forgotten about us.
Okay. Yes.
But I think the minute the applications started flooding in, we knew
okay,
that
we're back.
The community is still there. The community is still active.
Yes,
yeah.
Yes.
And we can host this reunion.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. I mean, now 2023 in Accra, I must say, beautiful venue, beautiful conference. What were some of the worries for you? Not worries, I think, some of the barriers or challenges, rather, in hosting and preparing for Ghana.
So in addition to, you know, being a new country mm-hmm. that we've never been to before, which I suppose is a standard challenge of all the Indabas, one of the big challenges, and it's not unique to Ghana, okay. unfortunately it happens in many, many of our countries, is difficulty of access, okay. particularly with visas.
With visas, yes.
So unfortunately, visas create barriers to participation.
Okay.
And, you know, we were able to resolve this through partnerships
100%.
with AIIMS Ghana uh-huh. and with the Ghanaian government
authority,
as well.
Yes.
They really came through for us. But it was a lot of, let's say, worry and sleepless
yes.
nights in,
yes.
you know, will people get their visas on time?
Yeah.
I think it ended up being, you know, many, many people ended up getting their visas hours before they boarded their flights. But they came through in the
yeah,
end, yes.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I got my visa on time.
Fantastic.
And when we got to the airport, I remember the visa on arrival terminal, mm-hmm. There was a deep learning Indaba official there, so it really eased the process. So
yeah.
I must say, I mean, it was quite a wonderful experience. Now, from being a very research-based, conference, scholars, research paper, mm-hmm. this, that, and the third, I see a lot more private sector involvement through your Google, your Apple, your Rockefeller Foundation. Walk us through that. What have been sort of, you know, the sentiments from your partners, and why do they keep reinvesting in deep learning and Indaba?
Our partners and our sponsors and international companies, African companies, are a very, very important part of the program because the Indaba is about connections, making those connections. The African community within Africa, but also connecting us to the global mm-hmm. AI community and being part of that discussion that's mm-hmm. happening. So our sponsors, both from abroad and locally, are extremely important. And we also want to create opportunities for people. We want to, and that's bi-directional.
Okay.
We want to create opportunities for Africans to get jobs at big tech companies if they want to, but also to see that they have opportunities on the continent to stay and to make changes and have impact. And I think our sponsors see this, and they see the impact, they see the excitement, they mm-hmm. see the special energy that's at the Indaba,
100%.
And I think they get value for money out of it. Mm. They want to grow the ecosystem in Africa, and they've been investing. They've been putting their money where their mouth is.
100%.
And we really appreciate it.
I mean, Google, rather, Research Hub is in Ghana, of mm-hmm. course. You know, that speaks volumes on itself. But outside of the excitement and, of course, job opportunities for a lot of AI and machine learning researchers and graduates, what would be I think for the global companies, a return on investment for them in putting dollar in an AI conference, machine learning in Africa. What's the return on investment for them specifically?
I think there's a few things. So I guess the DE&I angle is one that potentially hooks some sponsors initially. Mm-hmm. So they obviously see the glaring lack of representation of an entire continent, you know, in their workforces, in the big conferences. Although it's improved a lot, mm-hmm. you still don't see many Africans at the big AI conferences. Yeah. And I think the companies that have this social consciousness, they recognize this fact, and they're looking for investments. 100%. And the Indaba, I think, is an attractive proposition because we are growing this community. This is where the community is. 100%. So if they want to invest in it, this is where to do that. But I think once they've been hooked, then they start to see the impact, and they start to see that, you know, our dollars are actually funding students to travel for the first time in their lives to come overseas and to connect with others and to learn about other cultures. They see that their investment is leading to papers at the top AI conferences. They see that it's leading to new companies being formed on the continent. They see that new communities are being formed and are tackling real problems on the continent with African solutions. And the companies, that they recognize this, and that's, I think, what makes them come back.
Let's talk about this community. Mm-hmm. Yesterday I was at the social event, wonderful event. DJ was playing music from all over the continent.
Yeah.
People were dancing, and, you know, it was such a wonderful event. How big is this community, and at what lengths do you go to really, you know, try and get as many African countries represented in Deep Learning Indaba?
That's something that's extremely important to us. So we see ourselves as an African organization 100%. That's trying to connect Africa to showcase that we are much more similar than we are different, despite the borders that may have been drawn between our countries and our communities. So this year we have 36 different African countries represented at the Indaba.
Wonderful.
We have a little bit more to go to cover the entire continent. But it's been growing every year, and that's something we're very proud of. It's something that we work very hard to do, and we do this through a number of programs, such as the Indaba X.
Indaba X, the mini Indabas in each and every country.
Yeah. Exactly, and so they
are the
ones
who. That's a wonderful idea, by the way.
They are how we scale, and they are how we start developing the local communities, and then bring them in to the
Mecca.
Exactly.
What are your aspirations with Deep Learning Indaba? As the co-chair currently, what is your aspirations? What do you want this to culminate to being into, and how does Deep Learning Indaba look like in 2024, 2025?
I think we're gonna continue to see this change and this growth that we've been, this trajectory that we've been seeing over the years, where the Deep Learning Indaba becomes even more about a discussion around cutting edge, slightly less of the foundational educational aspects, although that's still very important. But the community is advancing and developing. And I think, but I think the more things change, the more they'll also stay the same. And that key value that we have of Ubuntu, that's what guides us, and that's always going to be at the core of the Indaba and of everything we do. So the Indaba is always going to be first and foremost about the community. That will never change.
Let me do this. Next year, where are we going?
Somewhere where they have very easy visas.
Okay, where's that? South Africa has easy visas. South Africa have easy visas.
Unfortunately not. If anyone from South African government is listening.
This is an amazing conference. 800 attendees. Walk me through the composition of the people that are here. Who's here? Where are they from? And what are they doing here?
So showcasing the diversity of our continent is something that's extremely important to us and something that we put a lot of effort into. So the composition of these 800 people is something we really pay a lot of attention to. And we make sure that we have representation from as many African countries as we can. This year, there were 36 different African countries represented. We make sure that we have people at different stages in their careers.
Okay.
So we have all the way from undergraduate students to academic faculty, lecturers and professors. And again, that's to build these connections. We have industry participants, so people who are actually practicing AI and building and growing businesses around the continent. We have them too, so that they can be connected also to the students or to the professors who are doing the cutting edge research, and they can learn about it, and vice versa, so that the academics can learn about what the actual problems on the ground are and ideas for solving those. We also care very much about representation of women. So we want to make sure that, you know, the participation is equitable, and something that we pride ourselves on is since we've been growing the representation of women at the Indaba until last year when we hit 50%. And again, this year, there was no question that there would be 50% representation of women at the Indaba. So we try to bring as diverse people as possible and put them in this pot and stir a little bit, and magic comes out of it.
I know you have an applications process. Just walk me through the applications process. Mm-hmm. I mean, one went through the link, applied, and walk me through it. And how does then the selection panel, the selection committee select the participants and attendees?
Yeah, so the Indaba, unfortunately, is very oversubscribed. So. Okay. Almost 4,000 people started their
nice
applications
problem.
For this
that's
year.
That's a nice problem.
Yes. But so what we want to do is we want to maximize the impact of the 800 people who eventually make it here. So of those 800, 200 spots are reserved already for speakers and organizers and mentors and sponsors. So we're actually only selecting 600 people.
600 people.
Out of these 4,000 who started their application.
Right.
So what we look for is firstly people's ability to understand, firstly, to see that they have some prerequisite experience in AI so that they will be active participants in the discussions that are happening.
And make it more meaningful.
Making it more meaningful to them, exactly. And that they actually get value out of it personally. Mm-hmm. But potentially even more important than that, we look for what their community involvement is. Because we want to identify people who are going to be force multipliers, really, of the investment that we make in them. So bring them here, let them build the connections, let them gain experience, and then go back to their communities and actively grow them. So that's probably the most important thing that we look for in the application process. Then we also make sure that we balance the diversity of our attendee pool, and we do that as part of the process as well. So there's a few different criteria that we balance. So there are definitely a few trends. We see growth from certain countries in particular, especially Nigeria. We see over time that the number of countries who are applying has been steadily increasing, and so the word of the Indaba has been spreading across the continent. The trends in interests, I would say we have a lot of interest in applications.
Okay.
So a lot of our community is very interested in using this technology to actually solve problems on the ground, which I think is very inspiring to see.
Wonderful.
People are definitely doing research, but they're wanting to do research with a purpose.
Okay.
And that's definitely something we're seeing.
Okay.
There are trends in AI as well. So everybody, I think, knows about the sudden growth in these large language models.
100%.
And definitely there would be that would also be reflected in the in the interests of some of the trends that are happening in the industry at the moment more generally. But I'd say probably what's unique to our applications is just how interested and how passionate people are in using this technology for good.
100%. I think this is really important, right? There's going to be a lot of themes and practicals over the week, you know, from climate change to, you know, health, you know, trustworthiness and responsible AI. How do you go about selecting these sessions and practicals for deep learning and Indaba?
So it's a combination of multiple things. So we try to, because we have such a diversity of attendees, firstly, we try to ensure that there is something to cater for everyone, sort of whether they are more in the early stage of their career in AI or they're more advanced in their career in AI. So we try to make sure we have more foundational sessions and also more advanced cutting edge sessions where people are really pushing the boundaries on the state of the art. We also try to cover topics that we source, I suppose, both bottom up and top down.
Okay.
So we look at the interests that people seem to have in the applications that they are indicating.
Mm-hmm.
And every year we collect feedback as well from our participants to see what they enjoyed the most, what they would like to see more of. And we try to ensure that that's represented. And then we also make sure we represent the trends in the industry. So, of course, more people want to know about transformers and large language models because everyone's using ChatGPT now and they want to know how it works.
Yes.
And they want to know how they can use it to solve their own problems.
How to exploit that technology.
Exactly. So we make sure we cater for that too and have sessions that are relevant for that.
Obviously, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining us at iAfrican.com. Thank you so much for hosting us as iAfrican, as the official media partner. We're looking forward to the week. It's going to be exciting. Can't wait for the next social party.
It's going to be, the closing party is always a big one.
Thank you
Thanks
very
so much.
Much
for being here.
Thank you very much, brother.
Thank you for listening to iAfrican Bites. Please share your feedback with us on our socials. On Twitter at iAfrican. On LinkedIn at iAfrican.com. And check out our other podcasts, The Tefo Mohapi Show, Take Legal Matters, and The Lead Creator, on all podcast streaming platforms. And also make sure to head over to www.iAfrican.com. That is iAfrican.com/radio. And subscribe for notifications. iAfrican Bites is an iAfrican Media original show produced by Nzalo Mbangana and content producer and host by Don Kotokwane.